Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to just come again and feast on your word. Thank you for the opportunity to be ministered to and sharing it with my wonderful family here, Lord. It's just so amazing and such a blessing. Just let your words be spoken here tonight as I check out. All glory to you. Praise God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you much. I need to study the first verse of Victory in Jesus there. So, I know the course now. Appreciate, you know, as usual, you guys definitely coming out to share some of the word of God with me. As I said, just ministering to myself and through the Spirit, and glad you can, you know, sit in and join in with me. I always have to like to thank Brother Tom for being my official hydrator. It's not the most discreet bottle, but I'll take it. And it has bubbles, so if you hear a burp or two, that's Tommy. But definitely appreciate this Mother's Day today. And by the way, Scott, if you ever forget my sister's name, I've got a few choice names you can borrow that I've used over the decades. So today is Mother's Day. We definitely, you know, appreciate that. You know, all of us have love for our mothers or someone who played that role in our life. I think even in areas where the Lord has maybe left us absent of a physical or natural or blood mother, he's always been faithful to have someone fill in that position for you. So we definitely appreciate that. My mother advised me when I come up here not to speak of her. So always one to deflect any type of praise or glory to the Lord, and that's definitely precious. So my father taught me everything. He taught me how to cook. He taught me how to clean, how to wash and iron my clothes, how to tie my shoes, how to ride a bike, shoot a basketball. My dad taught me how to catch a fish, fix my car. He taught and exposed me to some of the greatest music and musicians to ever live, and even taught me how to play my first instrument. I'm so blessed and grateful for the things that my father has taught me. But oh my, I guess I'll just have to be in trouble. Mom taught me one thing, the word of God. Mom taught me to pray, to read the word, to know that I can trust God for all things, big and small, to believe, to seek his will and be okay with it, more than okay with it. Happy, blessed. Mom taught me Romans 8:28. The reading the verses, or have me read the verses on the way to school, the before bedtime Bible stories, where I'd always loathe to read of Daniel or the Hebrew children, my favorite. Vacation Bible school, I was here. Camp, got me there. The little yellow sticky notes with a bit of word scribed on them, just a little bit. A little here, a little there. I don't think I ever received a card without a scripture accompanying it. Praise God, praise God, praise God. All glory. Mom, for as unsimple as it is to express my gratitude, I'll just simply say, thank you, Mama. It was definitely not easy to raise a knucklehead like me. As my mom would always say, he gave you the perfect mom, because Mom was a prayer warrior and full of grace. Yeah. Amazing grace, which comes from the love of God shed abroad in our heart. So, see, what my father taught me was good. It was worthy. It was useful. It prepared and enabled me to have a good, functional existence, even great at times. What Ma taught me cannot be appraised. It's priceless. What Mom taught me was life. And not just life, but everlasting life. Mom raised me in the way I should go. And by his faith, his might, his grace, moment by moment, I'm going, Mama. I'm going. All mothers, full of grace. As all you mothers can speak to in here, a child can do no wrong unless they say so, right? And isn't it the beautiful example of the grace the Lord shows us in our natural mothers? And if we know our natural mothers to be of flesh and blood, and breath is in their nostrils, then who would our spiritual mother be? Now, in children's church, we celebrate right answers with a good piece of candy. So, not everybody now, but, and we even spoke about it today, who is our mother? Hagen was pretty quick. That's a watermelon airhead. In some countries, give your first daughter for that. Don't take that lightly. Our father is our father. And the law of our mother is grace. And it shall be an ornament to thy head and chains around thy neck. If you don't mind turning with me to Proverbs 1, 8 through 9. Spit around a couple verses here tonight. You're definitely more than welcome to follow. And as we know, it's so much, just scratching the surface. So much you can continue to study on and go on in this. And again, that's Proverbs 1, and we'll start at 8. It says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck." If you flip right over in the same book of Proverbs to chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, "My son," well, it says, "by his knowledge and depths are broken up and the clouds drop down to dew." It says, "by my son, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then thou shalt walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet." So again, we know that our Father is our Father, our Heavenly Father. And we know that our mother is grace. And we love to check and see what the scriptures say about that. Let's see what Paul spoke to the Galatians about in 4:22. Galatians 4:22. "For it was written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem,
which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren, thou bearest not, break forth and cry, that thou might travailest not. For the desolate have many more children than she which have a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be an heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but we are children of the free woman. That freedom we know is grace. We know that bondage is law. We know that we're not under the law. Again, we're so blessed to be in this message, and we've heard it over and over and over and over, and as long as he tarries, we'll hear it over and over and over, because we all know by his grace in here that we're not under the law. We know this is a grace meeting, if you will. I hate titles because I just consider it all truth, but we're a grace meeting, okay? I love it here because here law and grace are contrasted in this example. Agar is a mountain Sinai, and I'll give you like a map with my hands, like we're here, and Mount Sinai is way somewhere else. So they say potentially that it comes from the name of Hagar, which we know was the woman who had the child with Abraham, not necessarily in the will of God or the way it should be. A lack of faith there is what brought that about. But then we have Sarah, which Sarah represents the free, the grace, our mother. Sarah represents our mother. We are children, again, as it says, of grace, of freedom, not of the bondwoman. And we know that those things continue on today. Born free, in which we partake as children of Sarah, not Hagar. Sarah represents Jerusalem, or the New Jerusalem, which so much. I believe you can jump over to Revelations. I think it might be 2:22, and it speaks to that, which we all know, New Jerusalem, and the freedom and the grace that we're afforded to partake in that. So it's just a little nugget that kind of speaks to who our mother is, that spiritual mother, that grace, that freedom, that example that was shown in Sarah. Speaking of grace, grace was first mentioned in the word way back in the beginning. If you want to, you can turn with me to Genesis 6:5. And we know grace is a very ambiguous word. Interchangeable. I like grace, love, grace, favor. I love even how the Amplified blows it up there. That we'll take a look here in a second. But grace was first mentioned, like I said, in Genesis 6:5. And it said, and this is the time of This is before that. I struggle so tough with the word, but it's before the flood happened. I think you pronounce it Avidin. Somebody pronounce it for me? That word. Okay. It was before the flood. So this is when that's going on. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So right there, he's already dealt with Adam. He's dealt with Eve. He's dealt with sin. I don't want anybody to ever think, as we know, that the sin or what occurred was a surprise to God. Even that was foreknew. Yeah, he planned and developed in a certain way, but Adam, Eve didn't do anything that caught God off guard. And all of a sudden, oh, I've got to alter this plan. No. He knew before he brought it into existence, right? We know all that. So here he is again looking at the wickedness of man. And this just so much speaks to that, as David said, just born in iniquity and sin, just nothing good there whatsoever. I mean, here's man living. It hasn't really been, the world's not that old from our perspective, and here man is just corrupt. But we know that that Adam remains in all of us today. But it's whatever man you feed, right? The new man is who will grow. The old man will die daily. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. How many times did he say, man, I can't believe I did this. Here they go again. What was I thinking? And the Lord said, I will destroy man who I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creepy thing, and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found what? Grace in the eyes of the Lord. Grace in the eyes of the Lord. So even in that creation, even before Christ, even before the remission of sins, God was full of love and grace. And it's demonstrated here. He gave Noah an opportunity. What did Noah do? What's the word, Dean? That word, before the flood, there's two men that the Bible says walked with God. One of my favorite is Enoch, because by the grace of God, for the life of me, every day I try to figure out what I can do to be translated out here. And I search and I search and I search, and it says Enoch just walked with God. And I'm like, God, you got to give me more than that. So I'd love when the day we get to meet with Brother Enoch, and in the Hall of Faith. Oh, man, gives me goosebumps. It said Noah did this as well, too. It tells us that Noah walked with God. There must be something to this walking with God, I'm telling you. Said two men, the word said, walked with God, Noah and Enoch. Now, one represents the raptured saint, which that first calling, which definitely, you know, that high calling that we want to be in, that first trump, the one represents that. That's Enoch, taken out before it even goes down. Don't even worry about that. You come on up here. All right? That, me. Sign me up, please, by the grace of God. The other represents being kept through the tribulation. That's the example there in Noah. So, again, one represents rapture, and the other is the Israelite, if you will, preservation through the tribulation. It's a beautiful study in itself, but we'll stick to tonight's stuff. Noah found grace, or the favor of God, simply because he walked with him. No, found grace. Found grace. Didn't earn it. Didn't deem it. Found grace, which if something's able to be found, then it must be readily there and available. You can't find something that's not readily there and available. Grace is freely given to all men who seek it. Seek and ye shall find. It is not earned. It is readily available and endless to those who take it and then take it some more. You see, grace begets grace, and you need grace to take grace. And then you even need more grace to take even more grace. Stick with me. How much will you take is the only question. It's the only question. The only question. And, you know, I don't ever like to get scared by anything in the Word of God. I think it's a reverent fear, but one thing that makes me reverent is when I think that the Lord knows the measure of each and every one of us in here and how much we'll take. We might think we do. We might think, oh, I'm going to take a bunch. Or we might even say, oh, I'm not going to take that much. We don't know. Run. Take it. Take it every day. It doesn't worry me, or it's not a fear, but just always keep that in your mind that he knows. He already knows how much you're going to take. He knows how much you're going to take. So just continue to take, because it can definitely be different for individuals, the amount of grace they take. The fountain's flowing, but he doesn't control how much you take. Take it all. Take it all. He knows the extent and the measure of our walk, but we don't. If we look over in Ephesians 4:5, this grace is not for some special group or something that's unobtainable. If we look over in Ephesians 4:5, it says, "There is one body, one spirit, even as ye are called in the hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and one Father of all, who is above all and through you and in you. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." So we're not the measurers by any means. Christ is the measure. Take, take, take. But trust me, he's not a God of limit or turn it off or you've reached your fill. It said it will take the ages to come. As my dear brother Justin so sweetly enlightened and brought out to me, that really hasn't even started yet. The ages to come, just to even show us, just minutely a little bit of what grace is. The ages to come, how long is that going to take? How long are we going to be there? Forever. Learning every day, forever. Just can't even comprehend it right now. But that's how much grace, that it'll take forever. A word we don't even know the concept of. We throw it around. Nobody knows anything in here. That's forever. But this. But forever means it's not going to stop. So it'll take that long just to even show us how much grace the Lord has for us. Grace not an easy thing always. You can wrestle with grace, or as Paul says, you can frustrate grace. I love how Peter said, "Yeah, it's difficult to understand what Paul's saying to those who wrestle with it." Grace is one of the easiest things, if you will, to wrestle with, because it's such a powerful thing. I mean, it's just the most powerful thing there ever was, because it's so simple and perfect. It's difficult if you wrestle with it. And why is it so hard to take? Why is it so hard to take? Because grace removes man 100% out of the equation. 100%. And man in the natural is just not bred like that. Like Pastor says, well, we've all heard with the pinky nail. It's one of the greatest visualizations I've ever seen. I did something. Our small group, we was here Sunday, right? Night. We came Sunday night. So whatever blessed saints couldn't make here tonight, I did a little more than you. No. He'll have none of that. Free gift. If we look at Ephesians 2:4, we'll see what that speaks to a little bit. And it said, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus." And I so appreciate, we'll even go over into 8. "So for by grace ye are saved through faith, and not that of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." No pinky nail cut it. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." I want to quickly read you from 8, just a blown up, amplified version, just to expound on the words a little bit here. "For it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves, of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but it is a gift to God, not because of works, not the fulfillment of the law's demands, lest any man should boast. It is not the result of what anyone can possibly do. So no one can pride himself in it or take glory to himself. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Again, as Paul told the Galatians, I don't frustrate grace. Who's bewitched you? Why would you want to go back under bondage, the law of bondage? Once the chains are off, the chains are off, right? None of us have ever, you don't get out of work and turn around and run back in, do you? You run home. You run home to enjoy time. You don't go back in. That you're free. I'm free. It's 4:30. I'm free. You don't go back in there. If you didn't have to go back the next day, stay free. I do not frustrate the grace of God, as he told him, Paul. If so, Jesus died in vain. And how ridiculous is that? There's not even nothing to say on that, to speak on that. Jesus dying in vain? No, don't think so. The thing about grace is, And I love to tell people this whenever I'm speaking the word of God or even standing up here or whatnot. For one, he has to use some mighty fools to use the foolishness of preaching. So I'm a prime candidate. I have erred and made so many, and don't even let me say past tense, make so many mistakes in my life and bad decisions that I am a prime candidate to speak to the grace of God. Because, man, If I know I'm over my minutes, if there's a limit, I know I'm way over. You know, from the first time I read that Paul, the least of these, I wanted to challenge him. No way, not you, couldn't be me. And it's not a self-pity party, we know that. We know we're all redeemed and saved. But also we all know that Paul said, like a pile of diseased rags, just nothing. Nothing good in there. So I know, for me personally, God gave me such an enlightenment and vision, I don't know how long ago, but it was one of the realest things he ever showed me, because he let me understand how it's nothing but grace / love / grace that will change anything in you, that will cause you to do anything that can be remotely considered God's will. How do I know this? Because this flesh is alive and it's living. It's dead, but it's here. I could go down to Brother Bob right now and start to give him one of these on the shoulders, right? He got nerve endings in here, right? Nothing about those nerve endings is going to tell Brother Bob's brain that doesn't feel good. Maybe if it's a little too hard or something, but you know, I'll be easy on you. And you can't brainwash that from somebody. No matter how long Brother Bob has sat in this meeting, you can't brainwash his brain to say that doesn't feel good. So no amount of brainwashing or no amount of time have you sat in this meeting on what you heard deters you and makes you despise in here what's out there. Brainwashing? We don't even have to go to the vices that we know. Let's choose some of the vices that so-called aren't so bad, just as an example. There is no type of brainwashing in the world you could tell me that I go out here and I think ice cream is bad. Can't do it. I've got taste buds in here. And that's just simple flesh. That's just a simple pleasure of the flesh. Now, what you could do, you could get me to not want the ice cream. You could come up with consequences and stuff that would make me not eat it. You couldn't change that I love ice cream in here with no amount of brainwashing in the world. So what does that show us? That grace, love, appreciating what God has done for you is the only thing that moves your heart to do what he asked or suggest you to do in here. Yeah, these laws were to show how much we need them. But nothing, no condemnation, no type of punishment would bring about that change. Only to realize how fortunate and blessed and favored you are to walk, to talk, to speak. I mean, boy, I can get in a gripe and complain in time sometimes. And I'll just have to break it down to the simplest of things. Maybe it's just me. I'll just break it down to the simplest of things. I'm standing on two legs right now. There's not an air siren alert going over my head every 15 or 20 minutes because there might be bomb strikes. Do you know that's just some people's life? They don't even know the difference. That's their life. And you know what's sad? Some of them have an even a greater time than us. It's all about quality of life. You can find some of these Christian pastors or ministers, if you will, way down in Ethiopia. Don't have nothing but a hut and basically the word of God, and it's the quality of life. Happiest person you ever seen. Don't know what social media is. Don't have the new Beamer. House doesn't have the extended wing or the fireplace, but man, just thrilled. Thrilled at the small nuggets that God gives them. Food, family, word, and their joy is true. Their joy is true. The Lord told me before one time, all unhappiness here on this earth is due to one thing, and that's not getting your will. Because if you rest in the Lord and his will, it's perfect. It's better than you can imagine. It's better than you can speak of. So any type of discontent has to be because of something you didn't get that you wanted. That I wanted. That's where discontent comes from. But again, we know that grace, that love is what moves and changes a man. As I see sister here tonight, and I got to minister with her husband today, such a precious man in my heart, and I'm sure Brother Kevin can speak to this too. It's just a small example, but, and I've been there too. And I was hoping Brother Aaron was here because I was going to ask him directly, and I bet you even his wife can speak to it. And I'm sure he wouldn't mind me even sharing his testimony. We know he came from Brother Kevin's prison ministry, which is such a blessing, such a blessing. I've got a nephew in there right now, just purges my heart. And you know the one comfort I got, that the word of God has reached him, and it's reached him through Brother Kevin. I'm not saying that's the only vessel, but praise God. Brother Aaron can speak to being incarcerated. I can speak to being incarcerated. Brother Kevin can. I'm sure few people can in here. If Brother Aaron was sitting right here and I asked him right now, did corporal or capital punishment change you into what I see in Mark, just by my own feeble eyes, as a man of God, here with his wife serving God, bringing family, eating it. He don't have to. You think it was because Aaron was locked up that made him that way? Think it's because he was short on commissary? Because they threw him in the hole? Because he completed out, which is serving your whole term, so you can't even throw the parole in there. Okay, I served my whole term. I'm fixed now. This corporal punishment, this dungeon, this whatever changed me. No. Again, back to that ice cream. You could tell me that every time I ate ice cream, I was going to get a bat to the face. I would either accept that and learn not to eat the ice cream, but I would never love it. Or, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to learn to take that hit in the face with that bat because I still want that ice cream. But grace is what changes you truly on the inside. Grace, the same grace as a mother. I'm grown, have been for a long time. I don't have to listen to near a word that lady says legally. Like to see you try to spank me now. I don't have to listen to a word. None of us do. We're grown, right? And just even in the natural, as you grow, You start to understand what your parents were doing. You start to understand why they did it. You start to say, hey, this made sense. Okay, I get it. And you know what? You start to listen to them. Why? Because you have to. No, we're even close. You don't have to. You don't have to listen to them, Izzy. You're getting there. You know why you do? Because you love them. Nothing pleases your heart more because you love them. I'll do anything that woman asks me, not because I have to, because I love her. I love and appreciate what she's done for me, what she's protected me from. All the things the Lord does for us, and this is just in the natural. I'm just talking natural here. Saints, how can we not be moved in the heart to do what's pleasing to him? Our reasonable service, if you will, and you know what? You don't even have to try because he'll do it. What did he just say? I set out this path. I set out these good works. Get your eye off yourself. Get your eye off the sin and just walk. I've got it. You don't know what I'm using. I heard a gentleman on the radio the other day, it might have been Caleb or something, a pastor said, you don't know how what you do or your testimony is going to bring the next 5 million believers. That's right. That's right, Alex. You have the potential to bring 5 million believers and don't even know it because you don't know how God works things. You don't know the chain of events or reactions. You know, and we're an epistle read by all men. We don't know these things. It's the grace and love of God inside our heart that just can cause us to move. It's not a rule. It's not a law. It's just love. And if you truly experience that love and truly accept that grace of God, there's no way you cannot be moved to do his will. And when I'm ministering to people and witnessing, I hope we all do, I hammer that home. You don't have to do nothing. The Lord will do it. Seek him. He'll make it happen. There's no consequences. There's no consequences. There's love tackles, but there's not consequences. That blood covered a multitude, right? Grace, love. They cover a multitude of sins. There's no condemnation. There's no punishment. All there is the grace and love of God. There's love tackles, there's persuasion, there's conviction. What do you think that conviction is? Love, grace. It's not that brainwashing. Some people try to tie it to that, but it's not. Some people hear our meeting or our grace message, again, don't like the title. I don't know what the grace message is. I just know the message. And the message is full of grace. Some people hear us or see grace message or meetings or whatever, and what's the first thing they do? We all been there when you witness to them. Somebody's hit you with it. That's just a free pass to sin. Now, by the grace of God, us all sitting here tonight as grace saints, right? Who know we're free, who know that we were covered by the blood and we are white as the Colorado snow, right? We all know that, and by his grace, we all apprehend to this grace message, right? Now show me your hands who gets away with sin. Show me who uses that as a free pass. I would like to say us grace saints, that conviction, that Lord in your heart is worse than anything you could do to me. I tell a story sometime when I was young, a little wild, this, now, whatever, might get into it with some guy, put a whooping down on somebody or something like that. You know, to everybody else, that's the coolest thing in the world. No, yeah, you the man, don't nobody mess with. I couldn't eat for 2 weeks. And this is as a kid, I didn't even know why. Christ in me. Couldn't eat for 2 weeks, man. Let me go apologize to that guy, you know? There is no free pass to sin. That conviction of Christ and love in you is sometimes worse than even being in a prison, being beaten in the face with a bat. As well as we don't want to get to talking about that leanness to your soul, do we? So you can't tell me that grace is a free pass to sin. Oh, quite contrary, quite contrary. Grace is what moves you to not sin, if you will. And even so, that grace is sufficient when you do. So even as our mothers in the natural, grace is loving, it's nurturing, it's plentiful, it protects us, it feeds us, it teaches us. Grace is our mother. If you look in Ephesians 4:29, I love what it says here. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. I like how the Amplified says, let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor, to those who hear it. Hopefully we always eschew this grace message. When we're witnessing to people, hopefully we always walk in this grace message and not frustrated. It is one of the hardest things, but yet simple things to do. Just take it. I'm still learning that. Just take it. His grace is sufficient. I love to get images in my head where times where God interrupts somebody talking. He almost stopped Paul from talking. Lord, I talked to you and I'm dead. Hey, my grace is sufficient. Stop that stuff. I'd like to end on that tonight, and I'd like to leave you. I brought a picture or something of what grace looks like. If you have your camera phones, you can definitely take it out, and you might capture a picture of what grace actually looks like, and you can show it to somebody. Because I don't care if you turn that camera around for a selfie, or point it right here. This is what grace looks like. And a lot of it. And a lot of it. This is what grace looks like. This is what grace looks like. Everything. This is our blessing. This is what grace looks like. Yes, let's continue to drink from that cup of salvation. But continue to take that grace. And by what the scripture says, I promise you, you will be changed. You will be moved. You will be able to walk in those what? Foreordained good works. God is our Father. Grace is our mother. In the natural, for any mothers or even fathers who might doubt it, as the word says, raise them in the way they should go. And it's not they won't depart, they can't. I've tried. If I hadn't come to the realization by now that it's just not going to work, I'd try again. But the Lord brought me to the point where I said, you know what? I'm going to just sit in this and reside with you and let you bring my peace and healing, because I can go out there for a night and I might can even forget about it for a night. But tomorrow it's the same old thing. And the day after that, and I finally got to a point, I said, I'm not doing that to myself no more. There's nothing. It can be a lonely place, saints, but would you trade it? Not at all. Not at all. Walk within those foreordained good works. Let that grace be that ornament around your neck. Praise God. I'm going to ask Angie to end in prayer.